to receive your living word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we give you the praise for it. Father, speak through me. Think through my mind. Speak through my mouth what you want said here today. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, and let the church say,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5. And I want to share a few minutes with you from the Word of God concerning living a spiritual life. Living a spiritual life. We're living in a time now when, you know, the world is becoming more carnal, and folks' attention is on everything else but what it should be on, and that's should be on God. As a believer, not just as a preacher, but as a believer, I want to be a person that God can use. Do you hear me? I want to be a person that God can use. I want to be someone that God will say, I can depend on him. I know that he will do what I tell him to do. Go where I tell him to go. Amen. Mentioned earlier where Jesus told the disciples to pray in that manner, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I'm going to give you something to think about, and then we'll read the scripture. God has you here because there is a place for you here. There is a purpose for you being here. And God, long before the eons of time, knew who you were. He set this particular time for you to be on earth. There's a place here for you. And God has something for you to do that to bring glory to his name. I don't know if you realize it or not, but you are not an afterthought. You are here because you have something that God has put on the inside of you that he can use to bring glory to his name. We were created for his glory. Will you do something for me? Just lovingly look at the person beside you and just tell them this, says, tell them that you were created for God's glory. Now, just in case someone got missed, look at the person on the other side of you or behind you or in front of you. Tell them this, you were created for God's glory. So you're not a useless piece of junk that deserved to be thrown in the trash. No. Hallelujah. Now you may need some work. But God knows how to fix you up. You hear me? God knows how to fix you up. I got an assignment for you. I'm not a school teacher or professor at any college, but I got an assignment for you. You can't do it here. But when you get home, most folks have a full-length mirror in some room in their house, especially the females. But have at least a half-length mirror in your house. Your assignment is sometime before midnight tonight, I want you to stand in front of that mirror and tell yourself, this man or this woman, or this boy or this girl is loved by God. And there is a place for me. Will you do it? Let yourself know that you are loved by God. Now, the issue I see with a lot of people, they have a problem with loving themselves. But I've come to this conclusion, and some of you have heard me say this before, but I've come to this conclusion. If God loves me, who am I not to love me? All I need to do is let God work in me that he wants to do in me. Amen?
Amen.
Because I want to be a person that God can use. Now, you have Galatians. Did I tell you chapter 5? Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Drop down to verse 16. And I think I'm going to need some help from upstairs. But in verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall, and I'm reading from the New King James Bible, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you want to become a person that God can use, you must make a decision that you are going to walk in the Spirit. I say you, that applies to me too. We must make a decision that we are going to walk in the Spirit. Are you still here? Now, I'm going to drop down to verse 24. It says, and those who are Christ, in other words, those who belong to Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. What is he saying to us? He is saying, if you belong to Christ, if you are born again, then walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It's not easy to walk in the Spirit when you're carrying unnecessary burdens. Is there one amen out there somewhere? Amen. Glory to God. I want you upstairs, please. Verse 16 in the New Living Translation. I want to read it, and then we'll go on down to verse 24 and 25 in the New Living Translation. But verse 16 first, Galatians 5:16. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 24. To those who belong to Christ Jesus, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Verse 25. Since we are what? Living by the Spirit, let us do what? Follow the Spirit's leading in what? Every part of our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wrote this down, so I want to read it to you. We are not to act spiritual, trying to hide our carnality. Now, I want to read this to you again. I wrote this down. We are not to act spiritually, you know, action but no fruit. We are not to act spiritual, trying to hide our carnality, because, you know, when we act spiritual, you know, people think we're spiritual simply by how we act. You know, sometimes we can act spiritual. We can even talk spiritual. You know, we know when to say amen at exactly the right time. You know, we know when to say hallelujah at the right time. You know, and we know how to do all of that because we have trained ourselves how to act spiritual. I'm going to finish reading it. We are not to act spiritual, trying to hide our carnality, but we should become spiritual to abolish our carnality. Let me tell you something. When you make a decision that you're going to lead or live a spiritual life, that takes care of the carnality right there. Amen. Like I said earlier, see, there's too many deceptions out there that people fall for, and it's sad. But being spiritual has nothing to do with your position. I'm a pastor, been called by God to pastor. But I have to make a decision on my own to live a spiritual life. So it's not a positional thing. Pastor, deacon, choir member, none of that has anything to do with it. Actually, if you want to know something else, it has nothing to do with how much you know about the Bible. I've seen people, because I've been around a little while myself, hadn't been around as long as Sister Kyler. Amen. But I've been around a while, And I've seen folk that could quote scripture verses drunk, stoned. Matter of fact, some of them could do a little preaching when they got drunk. Minister Lewis over there, he and I grew up in the same church. I remember, and I know you too, do too. There was this gentleman that he could do his best singing while he was drunk. When he wasn't drinking, you wouldn't know he was there. He was just as quiet. Nice guy. He was. He was a nice guy. But he got a little alcohol in him. Man, I tell you, he could sing. In church. But that didn't make him spiritual. So it has nothing to do with how much you know. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to learn the Word of God, right? Yeah. We need to learn the Word of God, and we need to walk in what we learn. In other words, not just know it, but apply it. Amen. Matter of fact, there's one place in the Word of God that tells us that knowledge puffs up. You know, get you all puffed up. You know, competing with one another on how much Bible you know, but why don't you compete by how much of it you can live? Amen. God knows who's real and who's not. I like what the writer said in the 119th Psalm. Go ahead and turn over there. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look at verse 11. He says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart." Not just so I can know what it says. No. "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." In other words, I want to conduct my life according to your word. James talked about that in the book of James, about being hearers only and not doers. We want to be doers of what we hear. Amen. Knowledge by itself is not going to help you unless you apply that knowledge to your life. Glory be to God. You still with me? Now listen, turn with me to the book of Romans, please, the 8th chapter. Romans, the 8th chapter. A spiritual person, listen to this, a spiritual person is responsive to the Holy Spirit. In other words, a spiritual person will respond. Well, you have Romans chapter 8. All right, Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 14. "For as many as are led," how? "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," they are who? And that includes daughters. that include daughters, sons and daughters of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, are the daughters of God. Well, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're a spiritual person. Glory be to God. Are you still here? It's important for us to develop our spirits by the Word of God and acting on the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, being led by His Spirit. It's so important because are you ready for this? Remember I told you God knows who you are. Amen. He knows, He knew you way back. Even, matter of fact, the Bible said before the earth was even formed, you know, he knew us. And He had a plan for our lives. And that plan was for us to become like Christ Jesus, to live for Him. Now, turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Galatians, hallelujah. How many of you know that there are hurting people? You hear, all you got to do is turn on your television, turn on your radio, pick up a newspaper. Folks got problems. How many of you know sometimes church folk have problems? Sometimes born-again believers have issues. Right? Now, in Galatians, the fifth chapter, listen to what it says. Excuse me, the sixth chapter. Brethren, if a man, and understand when it says man in this, in these situations, circumstances, this includes ladies too. Okay? It does. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you see that? You who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. It would be a shame for someone to walk into this church or maybe present here that has some issues and they need help, but there's no one spiritual enough to help them. If you got a problem, if you got something going on in your life, do you want someone that's worse off than you are to come try to help you? That's been the problem. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor. And you need somebody to pump you up. You need somebody to speak the word of God over you. You need someone to pray the prayer of faith over you. What you don't need is, now what did the doctor say you had? Well, he said, this is going on in my body and that's going on in my body. Oh, honey, I just want to tell you. Now, we're talking Christian to Christian. Honey, I just want to tell you, my mama had that same thing. She only lived 2 weeks after he told her. You don't want that person around you. My granddaddy had the same thing. He died early than that. No, you want someone that's spiritual, someone that know the word of God. You want somebody that knows how to pray. You want some, I think it was Brother Hagin, I remember hearing him say this, that what you don't want is, I don't want to misquote him, but you don't want someone with an empty hand. Help me, Tony, because I know you listen to empty hand, laying an empty hand on an empty head. Is that something? Laying empty hands on empty heads. You know, so in other words, you need to have something in your hand, which that's the anointing of God. In other words, if you lay your hands on someone, you should be able to help them. If you lay your hands on someone, they need to walk away pumped up, glorifying God, magnifying God, blessing the name of the Lord. No wonder the writer said, if a brethren is, or if a man's overtaken in a trespass or a fault, you who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, restore that person. Sometimes Christians mess up, make bad decisions, do things they shouldn't have done, do things that God's not pleased with. Can I tell you something else? The devil is not your friend. He's kind of like that bully that you had to deal with in school. You know, they was your friend until they got you into stuff, and then they were gone. You know, I'm in my 70s now, so this has been a long time ago, but I'll just tell you this little story. But I remember in high school, if you got in trouble, back in those days, I don't know what to do now, but you had to stay after school, and you were responsible for your transportation home. Well, I was hanging out with some of my buddies. And they got into a little trouble. I was guilty by association. All of us had to stay after school for a while, maybe an hour or so. Thing about it, they only had to walk a quarter mile to get home. I had to walk about 6 or 7, maybe more than that. My mom didn't know where I was. My dad didn't know where I was because during that time, we didn't have a telephone, so I couldn't call. We didn't even have one in the house, let alone a cell phone. But I was guilty by association. I should have just stayed to myself. But even back then, God blessed me. I was young and foolish in many areas, but God blessed me. Someone passed by and recognized me and picked me up, took me home, so I didn't have to walk the whole way. Amen. You remember where we used to live in that little house from Ruby School? How many miles is that? By that much. Okay. Amen. All right, well, praise God. Let me move on. You who are spiritual, and let me say this, and I'm going to close this out for today. God needs you. He needs me to remain spiritual so that he can call on us at a moment's time to help those that are in need. Did you hear me? We are to stay ready to be used by God. God's called you to help somebody. God's called me to help somebody. But I need to make sure that I'm in a position to help them and not hurt them. Are you still here? Glory be to God. Come on, guys. Has this blessed you today? I have some more, but I'm going to cut it off, close it out right here. I want to read this to you again as we close. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, send the spiritual folk. Restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And I want to make this point. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are right now. You still have to be cautious, because anybody can stumble. Did you hear what I just said? Anybody can stumble. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Doesn't matter how many miracles God has worked in your life. Doesn't matter how God has used you in the past. I hope you're listening to me. I am closing, I promise. But it doesn't matter how God has used you in the past. We still must continue to feed on the word of God. We must watch our associations. Be careful what we hear. Be careful who we listen to. Remember this as I close. The devil is playing for keeps. And he would love to take you down. But you stay alert. You stay sharp. Stay in this word. Hear me? Stay in this word. Can I say something else while I'm closing? Stay in church. Just in case you didn't hear what I said, stay in church. It is scriptural to go to church. Word of God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So much the more, even more, even more, even more, as we see the day of the Lord approaching. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you, probably for the 10,000th time or more, Jesus is coming real, real soon. The demons are all stirred up because they know their time is very, very short. We got to stay sharp. We got to remain spiritual so that God can use us for his glory. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word that will never, ever return void. Thank you, Father, for